This podcast episode is dedicated to empowering sensitive people to recognize their trait as sensory intelligence
and bring their unique gifts into service for the crucial roles we play in communities, businesses, and leadership globally. I'm Julie Bieland, sensitivity expert, psychotherapist, and founder of the online Sensitive Empowerment Community.
I'm Willow McIntosh, founder of Inluminance and leader of the High Sensory Intelligence Movement. We hope you enjoy this episode.
I want to give you a quick update before we start this episode, and that is that I have some free masterclasses coming up that I'd love to invite you to. They're free to register. You'll also get a replay if you register. One is about high sensitivity and anxiety, and one is called Reach Financial Freedom, Growing a Heart-Centered Online Business, and that's for HSP practitioners, healers, therapists, coaches, et cetera, who want to learn how to grow multiple sources of income and just be in a place where you're free so that you can really do the work that you need to do as a healer and take time off to take care of your self-care and things like that. That's important for healers. And I'm going to be available to answer questions after these events. And you can find them, you can register free by going to my website, juliebieland.com or sensitiveconnection.com, and click on free resources. And there you will see where it says masterclasses, and you'll get a link to register free. If you can't find it for some reason, definitely just let me know. And yes, there is a replay if you register, and you'll get an email reminder and things like that as well. So look forward to seeing you there. Enjoy this event. So welcome everyone to our podcast, and we're actually doing this live through my Sensitive Empowerment Community, and I'm really excited to have you guys. And hi Willow.
Hey Julie, how are you?
Doing well. And our topic today is 10 steps to creating healthy friendships and relationships as an HSP. And very excited to talk about this topic. And I know that this resonates with a lot of HSPs, which is why I wanted to talk about it today, because I don't know if there's any of us that have not experienced some sort of unhealthy, possibly even toxic relationship or friendship in our lifetime. And what do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so pleased that we're able to cover this topic. I think it's such an important area for us, one that can cause a great deal of, a great deal of confusion and sadness, and can really kind of bring us to a grinding halt sometimes, I think, if we're not managing our relationships properly, or if we have a tendency to get stuck in unhealthy relationships. And at the end of the day, it kind of boils down to the relationship we're having with ourselves. So it's a wonderful topic, and I'm really glad that we're covering it today.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, we are such a caring, giving, empathetic group of people, and I've heard over and over again HSPs saying that they wish they had a friend like themselves, and I want to help you guys get that, because you deserve that. And so I've sort of created 10 steps, and we can talk about those steps, and if people have comments along the way, if you're listening live, go ahead and put them in the chat if you're resonating with something or you have questions about it. And I think one of the first steps to developing a healthy relationship is that we have to do our own internal work to develop a sense of self, which we've talked about a little bit in past episodes, and also to develop more self-worth. Because I truly believe that how much we love and respect ourselves is often how much others love and respect us. So what do you guys think about that? What do you think about that, Willow?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a real key part of it. It is very much that it's almost recognizing that there is a difference between ourselves and people outside of us. And I know that kind of sounds very obvious, but I think sometimes when I speak from my own experience, I can remember in years gone by, sometimes when I'm in the company of others, and because there's so much information that I'm picking up from other people and the levels of empathy are so high, sometimes it's quite difficult to actually work out where other people's energies and feelings stop and where my own energies and feelings begin. And I think once we get this understanding that, you know, we have our own boundaries, we have our own hearts, we have our own needs, we have our own thoughts. And yes, of course, we're here to communicate with others and love others and be in relationship with others. But at the end of the day, our own personal experience of ourselves has to be the fundamental reference point that we come from.
Yeah, I certainly have experienced that. I know before I did all my personal internal work, I had friendships and even a relationship that was really unhealthy in the end. And it's, you know, there's so much to be said about that, because I know for myself and for a lot of HSPs that it's really common for us to just be such givers, and to the fact that we're over giving, and there ends up being a unhealthy dynamic in relationships. And then there are some people that will take advantage of that. And I know that a lot of HSPs relate to that. If you guys are relating to that, I would love to see your comments, your live comments along the way. But I know for myself, I was not able to really develop very healthy friendships and relationships until I did my personal work, where I could understand what I needed and get to know myself a little bit, because I was so focused on what they needed that I didn't even think about what I needed. And therefore, if I'm not able to know my needs or express my needs are not going to get met in a friendship or a relationship. And we see a lot of people, Renata, definitely relating to overgiving. Yep. Cecily is saying, do you think HSPs are drawn to dominant personalities and even narcissistic personalities because we can have poor boundaries? Yes, I actually do think that. I see that a lot in this population, something I've even been involved with in my past, because that's a match made in heaven for a narcissistic personality, is someone that's going to be overgiving without boundaries. Have you seen that, Willow?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know it causes a lot of people a great deal of pain and suffering, but it is very interesting, this dynamic that happens between HSPs and narcissistic tendencies. You know, there is this kind of codependent relationship that happens. Obviously, you know, the more narcissistic side of the dynamic is very much dependent on the attention and the energy and the, you know, on the kind of love that gets given. But in some ways, I think we also become a little bit dependent on that ourselves, because there's a great deal of attention and we feel very needed, and it feels like it's a sort of a gooey place of love, when actually it's unhealthy and it's not balanced. And yeah, you know, it's a tricky place to be. And I think as HSPs, we want to give, you know, we have beautiful hearts and we want to give as much as we can. And, you know, there is this real kind of calling in us to look after people and be there for people. Yet there's got to be a recognition that we're not here to take responsibility for others. And that, I think, is a key piece to help us to, yes, to be loving and to look after others and feel for others and do all the wonderful things that we do. But at the end of the day, if we are taking responsibility and we're giving too much, then it's to the detriment of ourselves. And we begin to suffer, which means the other person in the relationship begins to suffer, and it all just starts to fall apart.
Yes, definitely. And thinking about that dominant personality with an HSP, I've seen that a lot, and I've experienced that myself. I even think back into my childhood days and before I understood the trait and, you know, developed my own tools to support myself through it. I was so overwhelmed all the time that there was almost something good about, in those moments, I thought, good about having somebody make the decisions for me. It's like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed, I can't make the decision, you just make it. And then that created this unhealthy dynamic for me and in the relationship. And then one thing that I see happens a lot too, if we're looking at a narcissistic experience with an HSP, often those relationships begin, whether it's a friendship or a romantic relationship, begin with a real high, because like you were saying, Willow, it's like, you know, you're sort of feeding each other. The narcissist is feeding the HSP, giving lots of attention and love, what you're thinking is love. And what ends up happening though through time is that if the narcissist doesn't get their way, or they are unable to control certain situations, or maybe you're trying to get a more healthy dynamic that's more balanced, then they're starting to not get their way. And that's when things start to fall apart. But what's really confusing for a lot of people in those relationships is that it doesn't feel like it's bad all the time. It's just often a cycle that ends up happening where you have sometimes that it's extreme highs, sometimes extreme lows, and it gets really confusing for people. And I've seen that a lot in the dynamic between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. It's a very common, piece that happens there. And you're absolutely right. It's all kind of fun and roses at the beginning. But I think, you know, once, because it's fun to kind of meet the needs, and it's, you know, it feels like a very loving and very kind of connected, like you're both in a bubble almost. But you're right. It's when the needs aren't met later down the line, that's when things start to get really sort of undone. And, you know, it's about, it is about us, you know, understanding that it's not our role to fulfill the needs of others in an unhealthy relationship. That's not something that we are here to do. And yet we have this tendency to want to do that. And you know, it is a responsibility of ours just to be aware of these things. It's just to be aware when we get in that dynamic. It's almost where the rest of the world sort of disappears around us and we're completely absorbed in one relationship. And obviously that happens, yes, when we fall in love, but it's very much having the kind of alarm bells. It's like, hang on a minute, am I just totally sucked into this and giving all that I can to try to maintain the equilibrium? And does it, you know, am I actually giving here? Is it coming from a healthy intention? Or is it deep down coming from a place of fear that if I do actually stand up, or if I remove myself from this situation, what's going to happen? I think those are some of the alarm bells to look out for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Tina's asking that about the, are there ways that we can ask ourselves to wake us up in a way that we might, you know, sort of notice that we're overgiving? And I think that I honestly feel like a really important piece of this would be the second step, which is knowing your needs. And that is something, because we have to be able to know our needs to express it, as I was saying. And somebody can't meet our needs if we don't even know our needs. So that ends up being something very important. And I end up doing a lot of work with HSPs around this. And that's, you know, that's where I go into, you just take little moments every time you go to the bathroom, ask how you're doing. What do I need? So you get practice with learning what you need. And I had to do the same thing. I had to learn what I needed because I didn't even know. And it's really common for HSPs. We get so uncomfortable with if somebody's disappointed or upset. We're so uncomfortable with that feeling that we feel like we have to fix it. And often that means that we end up overgiving and under receiving. And the dynamics in that end up being incredibly unhealthy over the long term. I used to work with couples, and it was so fascinating to start to trace the steps backwards to where things started. And they would show up with, you know, one of them would have massive resentment, lots of anger, just, you know, and then that creates a disconnect. But where it all began was the unhealthy dynamic of not expressing needs, not getting those needs met. And so we need to begin that early in a relationship, whether it's a friendship or romantic, to begin it early to get to know what our needs are. And if you really struggle with that, working with a therapist can help you figure that out. And I recommend that if you're really struggling with that, because I think that for me, that changed my life to get to know myself and what I needed so that I could express that.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. That has been hugely, hugely beneficial to help me to identify what my needs are. And also to practice sharing what our needs are. because sometimes there's this kind of fundamental fear or belief that our needs as HSPs are not as important as other people's. And actually, if we share those beliefs and share those needs and how we're actually feeling, then it's almost like there's a fear that we're going to be laughed at or put down or just not acknowledged in some way, or perhaps through the vulnerability of saying how we're feeling is going to, you know, people are going to then know how we're feeling and are we going to be safe in that space. And that's very much kind of based in what could happen when we're children, but it's different when we're adults. We have the ability to look after ourselves and say what we need. And whilst it may be tricky for us to practice that, I feel it very much is in practicing. It's almost like having sample sentences and just practicing to say, you know, right now, this is how I'm feeling about this. And it's very much my responsibility that I'm feeling like this, but I'd love to share with you that I'm feeling like this, just to help us to communicate and maybe see what comes of this, you know, just interesting ways of trying to just share how we're feeling. Because at the end of the day, unless we actually go about and say it, the other person is just never going to know. And even if we think they know, you know, they don't. So I think it's practicing that our needs are just as important as others, and just to let other people know how we're feeling.
Yes, absolutely. So important. And I see Renata has a great question about, should you work with a therapist on your own or as a couple for those in marriages? And I would say, you know, honestly, if I'm talking about ideal, I liked my couples to have their own individual therapist at the same time as doing couples therapy, if that's possible for you, and to have separate therapists. So each partner would have their own therapist, and then you would have a joint therapist. So that's technically three different therapists. That's what I think is ideal if someone really wants to do good work in this area, because then you're able to work with your individual therapist about exploring what are my needs and how would I need to express them? And then you come together in the couples therapy with support to share them. And that moves us into the third step, which is advocating for our needs to be met. And then we get to learn who can meet those needs and who cannot. Because it's very common for people, now we have to look too at the differences in the HSP brain. I mean, you have that advancement in that ability to often know what people need and to read people and read body expressions and body language and micro expressions that 80% are missing. And so there's a lot of information that you have. And if you have a non-HSP partner, it's common for them not to have that same information. And we just assume like, oh, I know what they need. Why don't they know what I need? So that's something to look at too. But we have to advocate. So being able to say, like you were saying, Willow, this is my need that I have. So I like to use language like, I feel best when, or I need this because, and notice that everything starts with the I, because it's really interesting in communication. If we use the word you always do this, that creates defensive, which means that they're not going to actually be able to hear us. Literally, the brain shuts down when we get defensive and we cannot take in new information. So when you're, and this is something also, if you want to work with a therapist, can help you with language and communication skills and all of that.
Yes. Brilliant points there. I love what you're saying about having the separate therapists. I think that's really important, definitely, to have our own kind of progress and our own development going on. And then, yes, very much to be in therapy, you know, as a couple too. I think it's so important for us as human beings to be in therapy anyway. You know, I think any stigma around that the relationship, you know, is failing that because we need help, I just don't believe that's true. I think it's...
Oh, yes. I have to say, I totally agree with you with that, Willow. I mean, I'm so impressed when couples come in at the beginning. And do you know that the research shows that couples actually, from the start of problems to the time they get help, is 6 years. That's on average.
Say that again, sorry.
From the start of the problem until a couple actually seeks help, on average, is 6 years later. You had come in the very beginning, like some couples do that, and I'm so impressed with that, when they come in and they're like, you know what, we're noticing this area, we need to sort of you know, support this area in our relationship, and often it's around communication. If they do that early, it's so much easier than if you've had 6 years of your resentment tank developing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. I heard this this quote once, that human beings are simply a puzzle of needs. And, you know, I think, when we're in a relationship with others, especially some of the counseling work that I've done with HSP couples, is, you know, there can be an unmet need, or there can be something that's deep down and hidden that doesn't get spoken about, that either gets assumed that the other person knows, or it's kind of got so complicated and it's so old that that deep set need has almost been forgotten by the person who's struggling with it in the first place. So, you know, just by the act of speaking when there is someone else present, just to explore and manage emotions and manage energy and get down to what the real needs are, it can then recreate such an important foundation for the relationship moving on.
Oh, yes, very much so. I happen to love the Gottman method. Have you heard of that, Willow?
I have. I'm not too familiar with it, though. Tell me about it.
John and Julie Gottman, they're a couple that have, and John actually has been, researching and studying couples for decades. I think it's over 30 years at this point. And they're both psychologists and came together, and they started out training therapists, and they also have books and stuff. And anyway, their stuff is really good. I love their communication, style. They have like 5 steps they do. And it works really well for HSPs. Maybe I'll put a link into, I actually think I wrote something about this in my blog. So maybe I'll put a link to that in the show notes also, so people can read that. But it's a very great way to communicate without having emotions and reactions take over. But as you were saying, Willow, yeah, sometimes that means that working with that neutral party, that couples can come in. I've had lots of couples say, you know, they've been fighting over something for 20, 30 years, and they were just now able to talk about it because I was in the room with them. So that's something to think about, is sometimes that really helps. And I would say the fourth step is, then we need to learn, we sort of gather information. After we've been able to get to know our needs and advocate our needs, then we get to know, can this person start to meet my needs? I've been requesting these needs to be met, and I've been using my I language instead of my you language. And I've gotten, you know, been able to communicate that to them. And this also works in friendships, work colleagues, family relationships, romantic relationships, all of it. This is something that's needed. We want to start to figure out what type of boundaries are needed. And if this ends up being a toxic relationship, how do we leave that relationship? How do we, if we are not unable to resolve it? And it's interesting because part of the research also shows that it's like 69% of issues between couples are actually not resolvable. And what that means is, while we can't fix it, we can manage it. And going about it with the idea of management, that ends up being successful. How do we manage this? If two people have a completely different need, how do we manage that? How do we compromise and meet in the middle? How do we create boundaries? And I have to share this. So something I would do with a lot of couples, and I think this is really fascinating, is that if you imagine that, say you have a ruler or something, as a 12-inch ruler in front of you. On one end, the one part of that relationship, you express your needs, and on the other end, the other person expresses their needs, and then you meet directly in the middle. But most HSPs, they start in the middle or way over towards the side of the other person. And oftentimes that other person doesn't know that they did that. So they're still expecting to meet in the middle. And now, if you can visualize that, you're so far from the middle and you're so way over on their end, that's when resentment starts to develop. Does that make sense, the way I explained it?
Yes. Yes, it does. That's a great analogy, or, you know, great way of looking at it. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I can, you know, and sometimes many of us as HSPs, we don't realize that we're starting in the middle because we're so unused to starting with our own, is to think, hang on a minute, you know, what are my needs here? And I, you know, and that 69% statistic you gave there is like, whoa, that really got me there. It's like, hang on a minute, you know, over half of what the things that we struggle, you know, are unresolvable.
Yeah.
Which gives us, you know, the realization that there's a great deal of compromise that we have to live with in our relationships.
Yes, but you can't give up that compromise, right? I mean, they also have to compromise, not just you.
Yes, absolutely. We both very much have to compromise. And I think, you know, if we're already kind of setting off with this level of compromise that's going to be coming in a relationship, we've got to make sure that we are in relationships where, as you say, Julie, our needs are being met. And if we put a boundary up in place, do we feel safe with that boundary? And what does it mean, you know, if we realize that we do have to come away from a relationship? And I noticed just in the chat there, Linda and Tracy were talking about, Linda, you're talking about, you know, moving away from family and friends, and Tracy saying how you've, you know, really regret losing your support system. And I hear this a lot, and it was very much my own experience as well, where I just realized I was in a relationship with, you know, in particular areas of my life that weren't serving me and they were toxic, and I had to make that shift away. And, you know, first of all, it can feel like the end of the world. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, who do I turn to now? And have I done the right thing? And, you know, all the feelings of rejection that come. And it can be life-changing for us to move into healthy relationships and make that change and go through the grieving process. And one of the best ways to do that is to make sure that we are creating new relationships with people around us, even if it's just having a daily friendly chat with the baker or something, but or a therapist or old friends or people that we can trust and love, just to remind ourselves what healthy relationships are and that we don't have to be reliant on the toxic ones to feel loved and to get that sense of self.
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes that can begin with a therapist. I mean, and I've done that a lot with clients. For example, if you think about maybe they're feeling like they've lost their friends or their family. I've even been through that experience in my life, losing people and feeling alone and beginning that relationship, even the beginning of a relationship with a therapist or a coach or something like that can be really supportive to you. You can also practice, you know, being able to communicate that. And that moves us into our next step of being able to set healthy boundaries. So maybe we can give a couple of quick examples of what that might even look like. And I'm just picturing something that comes up a lot in my work is, say, for example, there's a husband and wife, and the husband goes out golfing every weekend. And the wife is at home with the kids, managing her work, managing the household, managing it all. And she starts to develop resentment about this, that he's going off golfing. So there, a healthy boundary would be that she also needs to have time to herself. So that needs to be worked out and compromised, that he's not the only one getting that time to himself. She also needs to get it. So that's a little bit of an example of developing a healthy boundary. You want to name something too, Willow?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I think it's learning that, you know, it's learning to acknowledge our needs are just as important as other people's, which is we've very much covered that. But that is a great example. And I think, you know, examples with relationship when we're in a loving kind of relationship with someone else, it's about that, those steps of expressing the need and understanding that, you know, we can't overstretch ourselves into a place that's just exhausting us or it's putting ourselves at risk emotionally and energetically. That, you know, it is finding that language and creating that boundary. And an example, that's a good question. What's an example of that? I think from my experience over the years, what I find is that people, I mean, it sounds a bit, I sort of, if I word it in the right way, but sometimes I find people can become quite dependent on my energy sometimes. And I'm sure a lot of us experience that where, you know, people almost kind of, I guess we've touched it with the narcissist piece, but I think it's where we feel like people are overusing our energy and they're dependent on us being around, like they're always phoning us up for advice, or they just expect us to be there a lot of the time. And that for me, I found what was one of the trickiest boundaries that I had to set up for myself. And it was learning how to say no in a loving way where it wasn't okay for me to come round at that point or to be at the end of the phone 24/7, you know, just to say, this is just to find the language and to set up that boundary, to recognize that having a healthy no within us is an act of love for ourselves and also for the people who need to hear it.
That is such a great example, because I hear that over and over again in people trying to develop friendships with others too, is like they feel like they're always the person giving advice and support and giving and not receiving. So one of the things that I often, when I'm working with someone, is I'll say, I want us to start practicing saying something as simple as, you know, I've been really happy with being able to support you, and I'm wondering if I can share some of what's been going on with me so I can also receive some support and advice from you. Something as simple as that, where you're making the request.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a really, really good way of putting it, definitely. And when we can sense in ourselves that the person on the other side is a healthy person and we want to be in a relationship with them in whatever context that may be, that, you know, to recognize in ourselves that it's going to take work and it's going to take commitment, it's going to take compromise, as we've revealed here. And, you know, and to stick to it and just to learn and practice that it is a constant. It's a give and take, and it's learning that over time the right language comes. And yes, sometimes there's going to be some upsets, and sometimes we're going to say the wrong things, and sometimes we're going to get upset. And I know we really struggle with that when we feel very strong emotions. And it's just to recognize that we will come through, and it is about persisting and communicating, and sticking with it. If we know in our hearts it's we're meant to be with that person in whatever way.
Yeah. And it really does set up the dynamic for a healthy relationship to be able to say no sometimes. You can't always say yes if it's not right for you. I remember a powerful sentence my therapist taught me many years ago. And it was like, she simply said to me a sentence that I still use to this day with my clients and students: that's not going to work for me. Mm-hmm. I just love it. That's not going to work for me.
So simple, but so powerful.
I was like, I literally started crying, because at that time I did not know how to ask for my needs or make those kinds of requests or say no. I was like, wow, that sounded so empowering. And I love working with HSPs who start practicing this, because they always come back and say how good it feels. I mean, sometimes there's guilt attached to it, leftover guilt. Guilt's always the last thing to leave. That's what I've observed. But then we need to talk to the guilt and be able to say, you know what, I understand that you're there. I understand the guilt is there. I know where it's coming from. But I also know that by creating these healthy boundaries, I'm setting up a healthy relationship with a healthy dynamic. And that counters the guilt. And that's a powerful thing to be able to do. And to support yourself, moving into the sixth step is supporting yourself through the painful parts and the healing if you have had to let go of unhealthy relationships. One of my saddest times in my life was losing a set of friends after my divorce many years ago. And I lost people that had been in my life for 12 years because they had chosen to take sides. Now everything's healthy, not between my friends, my past friends, but me and the father of my children. Everything's good between us. But I ended up letting go and shedding those friendships because of how they responded to it. And it was a really painful time for me. I thought I would just weep over it. And I never thought I was going to get through it, but I got through it. And what happens when you work through that painful part and you work through healing, you really do reach this beautiful part that just sort of opens up and honors yourself. And I remember walking taller. Like, I felt like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm actually finding value in myself again. And because I'm valuing myself and I'm learning how to love and respect myself and have compassion for myself and all of that, then you raise that bar for others to love and respect you in that same way. And if my bar stayed really low, like where it used to be, and my self-esteem and self-value was so low, I met people at that bar, that low bar. But as I raised up my bar of loving and respecting myself, I met people with it at that higher bar, and that changed my life. That opened up friendships that I had never experienced before that were very loving and supportive. And like some of you were saying, you wish you had a friend like you. Now I have friends like me. And it's like the best thing in the world. And I wouldn't have been able to get to that point if I hadn't gone through some of this process myself.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's such a one. Thank you so much for sharing that, Julie. I just feel that so many of us on the, you know, are really relating to that. I mean, I can really feel what that was like, and I know that I've been through it myself, and I'm sure many other of us have too. And it's so true. It's almost like, you know, when we're in the relationships that aren't serving us, or we're going through particularly difficult relationships sort of period, it's like it really affects our sense of self. And you've just put it so beautifully there. It's like once we actually clear out the energy and learn to respect ourselves, find the boundaries, get ourselves aligned with what makes us happy, as you say, as it raises the bar, raises the vibration, as it's sometimes referred to, you know, when we become that much more happy within ourselves and content and owning our needs, we become of such better service for the people around us. That's when the relationships really start to blossom, and we start to find the people in our lives that really serve us and support us and help us to be the best version that we can. You know, as a result of letting go of that misperception of what we feel we should be in relationships, and that guilt of wanting to like be there for everyone. And yes, it's a tricky thing to come through, but once we actually make that shift and we shed that old energy that doesn't serve us, you know, our own happiness and clarity and energy to look after ourselves and be the people that we're born to be, it just doubles, and everything becomes so much easier in life, I feel.
Yeah, and it's amazing, because if you can start that dynamic in the relationship, it then will change everything. Because resentment, we feel resentment, and that's one of the things is like, if you are noticing signs of resentment, that means your needs are not getting met somewhere, and it is your responsibility to advocate and request for those needs to be met. And because resentment breaks the relationship. Resentment, and when I say relationship, I'm referring to friendships, family, all of it. Resentment breaks relationship. It disconnects relationships. And so being a giver and a people pleaser, I think Renata was saying something about that. Being a people pleaser in the end is going to damage that relationship.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I love that you said, I think it was last week, you said, you know, it's impossible to please everyone.
Yeah, exactly. It is impossible to please everyone. And if you keep doing that, nobody ends up being pleased. So absolutely. It is impossible to please everyone. And to be the best versions of ourselves, we really need to do that internal work to get us to this point. And moving into, now we're moving into the eighth step, was reaching a state of open energy that attracts kind and caring people into your life. I like the word you were using, Willow, vibration. And I absolutely believe that to be true, that your vibration is raised, and that's where you end up. And just think about even this sensitive empowerment community that we have. It's like, think about the people that are in it. It's amazing. And we have attracted that. And it's very possible to attract that if you're going through some of these steps.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's exactly what happens. I think it's once we trust that making the choice of no longer being in unhealthy relationships is the right thing for us to do, and that, you know, we're not supposed to be feeling guilty, or, you know, that sort of that place of like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I shouldn't have done this, or I should, you know, once we allow that to pass and come through it and just allow the clarity, the energy does rise, and that clarity of purpose comes. We step into this new version of ourselves, and then exactly that, we then start to reflect and see the people around us who love us and support us in the healthy ways and want us to, you know, want us to really shine and excel. And I think it was Tina that just said it so beautifully there in the comments, is are you saying that people around us are mirrors of our inner self? I think yes, that's absolutely right. I think when we're in this place of kind of low energy and resentment and fear, those are the kind of experiences that we're having outside of ourselves. And when we remove ourselves from that and allow ourselves to almost recover, a bit like a plant would recover when it comes out of a dusty, dark corner into the sunlight. You know, it just begins to grow and open and feel better. And then, you know, we just start seeing the right things around us.
Yes, I like that you brought in the plant, because I actually just made a post in the community yesterday about if you have two plants, you are going to take care and you know, take care of both of them. And if we're only taking care of one of them, meaning you're only pleasing someone else and not taking care of you, then only one of you is going to thrive. And that's it's very easy for us to say, oh, we would never do that. We wouldn't, you know, abandon the needs of this plant over here. But we do that with ourselves and all the time. And I think that it's such an important piece. It's the key that changes everything, is to recognize our own value. Because if I'm walking around in the world without valuing myself, which is exactly where I used to be, I didn't expect other people to value me, because they could only value me at the level I value myself. They could only love me at the level I love myself. I can't soak in anything more than that.
Yes, exactly right. That's exactly right. It's just basic metaphysics, or whatever the right term is. But it's just almost like that's how the world works. It literally, you know, it's that reflection. Because, you know, we have this incredible depth of processing and this ability to dive so deep into our world experience. We have such rich inner lives. And when we are using that ability outside of ourselves, and I can remember before I sort of had these shifts in my life, that so much of my attention would be going over old conversations and worrying what people are thinking about me, and how did I behave when I did that? And oh my God, I did that last week. And the whole of my state would be taken over by the fear of how I was behaving, or thought that I was behaving, in among other people. And there wasn't any attention going on my own development and my own sense of self and my own purpose, and thinking, well, you know, my sense of value and what I'm here to do and how can I serve in the best way. I wasn't thinking about those things at all. And now it's totally shifted around the other way. I don't worry at all about what I said in a relationship. Obviously there is some thought to make sure that I'm, you know, whatever, you know, doing things in the right way. But there isn't that kind of over process where I think, have I done this? Did I say that? Did I do that? It's now thinking about, how can I be of best service? How can I look after myself? How can I serve in the world in the best way? And that's a much more healthy use of this incredible gift that we have to think deeply and care deeply.
Oh, that was so beautifully said. I think that a lot of people listening are going to resonate with what you just said. I used to be the exact same way. My focus was so, I always call it external focus. I had so much external focus on other people and none on myself. And if you and I had not done our work on ourselves, we wouldn't be doing this together. We wouldn't be supporting people in the world. We would not be, being able to even ask ourselves, how can we serve the world? And it's so important to be able to do that. And that's, you know, moving us into the ninth step, is being able to surround yourself with people who lift you up in the world. Because it's a part of helping you access your gifts. And that's exactly what we're talking about, isn't it, Willow?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, which is shifting into accessing our gifts. Absolutely. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, that is the, I'm just making sure I just repeated what you said. What did you say? Sorry. Number nine, surrounding ourselves with people. Yes, surrounding ourselves with people who can help us to access our gifts. At the end of the day, you know, accessing our gifts as high sensory people is so important, because, you know, nature has given us this gift. You know, we're responsible for so much in the world. We have incredible capacity to bring change. I mean, some of the greatest leaders we've ever seen had the trait. And, you know, we owe it to ourselves, and we owe it to the world, we owe it to our communities, to make sure we are allowing ourselves to share our gifts and do the work that we're here to do. And surrounding ourselves with people who support that is so important, you know, because we are taking on so much energy. And if we're surrounding ourselves with the wrong people, it's just it's just going to be the case. It's going to be very difficult for us to share the gifts that we're here to share. And that it's just going to make us deeply unhappy.
Yes. And I that's what I love about our community is like, I love seeing people say how good it feels to be around other HSPs. And I see people making comments about that in the chat. And I've heard that I felt the same way in the world. And a lot of HSPs feel that sometimes we feel a little awkward. And the thing is that many of us, especially if you've scored really high on my sensitivity scale, for example, those of us that are high on that, I feel like we speak a different language. And when we're talking to each other, we're like, get it. It's like, oh my gosh, yeah, you get me and I get you. And it feels so good. And I actually think being surrounded by HSPs is a really great thing if you are somebody who's extremely sensitive. It's just different. We have a different experience in the world, and being able to share that is definitely a part of that, surrounding yourself with people who lift you up. And that's what happens when HSPs are together. We definitely lift each other up in the world. And that moves us into our final step, which is that sense of being able to live freely and authentically with this extra open energy. And that gives us this ability to access our much needed gifts in the world that helps everyone. And that is my whole, reason for everything that I do right now, is about teaching HSPs to get to that step, because you are so valuable. You are so needed in the world. And I certainly didn't used to feel all those ways about myself and had to go through my own journey to get here. But now that I'm here, being able to live in a space where I'm able to support other HSPs in the world. And Willow, you're doing that too. Like, as you were saying that, I was thinking, I have gratitude, Willow, that you did your work so that you could be here with us right now.
Hi. Bless you. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, that's, and you too, you too. I mean, it's such a gift to have you in the world, doing what you're doing. And, at the end of the day, if both of us had not made the choice to come out of toxic relationships, not made the choice to stand for what we know our hearts want to stand for, if we hadn't have done those things, we would be in a very different place, and we wouldn't be right now sharing our experience and sharing the love that we feel for ourselves and, in the world at large and other HSPs. We would be in a very different place. And it's so reflective of, just how much we can give and how much happier we feel when we make what could be very tricky and difficult decisions initially, but it's by learning that we are so important and really honoring our needs and taking these steps, that the results of that, when it comes to living freely and authentically with open energy, the reality of that is just groundbreaking, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Oh, that's so beautiful. It really is. And Tracy is saying about being private and selective about who I let in. And I think that that's not a bad thing. I think, especially if you're an introverted HSP and you don't need a lot of external in your life, then being selective. Like for me, I really like to just invest deeply in a couple of good friends rather than like in a shallow way with a whole big group of people. That's what works for me. And I love, Renata, what you just said. Renata says, I'm proud of all of us in the community being willing to grow and learn. We are already growing and healing by being together in this community. Absolutely. I love that you just said that. And I totally agree with that. We need to be in a community of people who lift us up in the world, who are similar to us, who we can feel safe and we can share who we are with each other, and we lift each other in the world. And that's exactly what happens. And I always say that, you guys are going to get sick of me saying this probably, but I always say this, that when you take an HSP and you lift them higher in the world, they absolutely go out there and make a difference in some way. You just who you are. You are such giving, caring, kind humans in the world. And we need you to be thriving so you can share your gifts with the world.
Beautiful. Yeah. Wow. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it needs to be said over and over. We need to say it to ourselves And being in community, that's what makes the difference. I really, really feel that by having the right people around us and you know, and feeling comfortable about having our quirks and our different reality and a different way of looking at things and having that kind of honored and respected and learning that being around the right people, it becomes much, much more easier to honor our needs, say what we feel and start to really enjoy our lives as HSPs, which is what it's all about.
Yes. Oh, it's such a beautiful conversation. I love it. If anybody has any last minute questions, you can put them in the chat. And I'm also going to be following this up with another event in a couple of weeks about where we can do some more Q&A over about friendships and healthy relationships, developing them. So I hope that this has been helpful for you guys. Did you find this helpful, everybody? I'm trying to read through the chats too. They're coming in quickly. I love it. How about you, Willow? Any last things that you would like to share?
I just, you know, I'm it's just so wonderful to have this conversation. I know it's such a tricky area for us, and I'm so pleased that you guys in the chat have been so interactive and asked your questions and shared. I think it's wonderful. And I, you know, if there's anything we haven't covered, I'd love for you to reach out to us and, you know, and let us know if we can support you any further. And also, if it may be of use to anyone, next week, I always forget to mention these things. On Thursday, the 14th of May next week, I'm doing my next High Sensory Intelligence Masterclass, where I talk about the importance of making this identity shift from the label of sensitivity as a weakness into the empowerment of high sensory intelligence and how we can all do that. And that it's our birthright to do that. So if that might be of any use to you guys, if you'd love to become a part of that, then simply by visiting, you can go visit highsensoryintelligence.com and then fill out the form on there and you'll get the details. And I would love to have you there.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Wow. If people would actually do that and my brain training program, I think that they would be in good shape.
Yeah.
I think that would be excellent to do those two things if you're out there struggling. And yeah, you can find the resources on my website, sensitiveconnection.com, and very, very happy you guys are here. Thank you so much for being here, everybody. And I'll be posting this in the community too. If you guys have follow-up questions that Willow and I can answer, we can do that also. Thank you everybody for sharing yourselves with us. And we really love and appreciate this community so much. And I'm so proud of all of you for how much you guys work at your growth. And it's just very inspirational to be a part of it.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Thank you so much for being here, everyone.
Yeah, we got lots of thank yous coming in. We appreciate you guys. And we'll talk more about this and, you know, keeping track of what you guys need. We'll keep on doing it and hope you guys can listen to all the podcasts that we've done in the past and be here for the upcoming ones. I think Willow and I really enjoy talking with you guys. Thank you, Very Willow. Much.
Thank you so much. See you all soon.
You guys take really good care of yourselves out there. Bye-bye, everybody. You can take my free sensitivity quiz and find all my HSP tools and resources at sensitiveconnection.com.
To register for the next masterclass on how to make your shift into high sensory intelligence, visit inluminance.com. Please leave us a voice message if you have a question or comment for us to be included in a future episode. Just click the voice message button in the show notes, introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, and record up to 60 seconds. We love hearing from you.
And please share this episode to help others. And take extra good care of yourself out there. Bye-bye, everybody.